Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Do you believe the Bears will win the NFC North?
Absolutely. I believe the Bears will win the NFC North. I believe the Bears, by virtue of winning the NFC North, will be the number two seed at least in the NFC.
A few moments later.
This is time to strike while the iron's hot. The opportunity is there this year. Not only the way this Bears team is made up with the coach, the quarterback, an opportunistic defense, and a good running game, but just the field is just much more vulnerable or beatable in the playoffs. This is a year the Bears can go to the Super Bowl and win it, frankly.
I like this kind of party! I like this kind of party, baby.
I think the Bears need to really get as much out of this season as they can, but I think they also have to. They also know, or at least from my perspective, I think the big picture outlook is just as promising. And the Bears, I think have a chance to be good for a long time, which is kind of what this is all about. I think we've said that many times. Like, it's not just about that 1-12-4, 13-3 season. It's about sustained success,
no doubt.
I think they're set up to do that.
Don't what?
Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Rahimi, Harris, and Grody Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Layla has the day off, but we are a big budget three-person show. We have to be. So Clay Harbor is in the house. What's up, Clay?
Not a lot, man. Looking forward to talking some Bears, some ball today. Got Packers coming up. Big rivalry game. Let's go.
Three-man weave, but also these formations that we're in now. I don't even recognize the formation we're in right now. What is this?
It's kind of a wild day so far for yours truly, because I was called in because unfortunately Layla is sick, which is fine, which is great, because I get to be with you guys and talk about the Bears for 4 hours. What else would I be doing in my life? But then just as we were about to begin the show, my microphone fell off because I was trying to get it into the proper position, and so I had to abandon that right before we came on the air, and now I am in between you two handsome
men. The wishbone
men here.
Right here? What is this, Clay, that we're doing right now?
It's called the Oreo cookie. I don't know.
It is indeed. That fits.
I just want once the opportunity to hang out with you guys in one of your exclusive nights out, because I see you guys at your fancy restaurants taking pictures, and Grody doesn't even get a call.
What fancy restaurant have you seen me at?
There have been pictures in the past that I've
We've
seen
been
you
to
two.
Some nice restaurants.
Hold on. Grody's last outing was at Adelina Prime. I haven't been at Adelina Prime in like 2 years.
That's true.
Say it again, Clay.
Grody's budget's even bigger than ours.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a pretty healthy one. I saw Arturis Karnišovas out there that night. He was at a table right behind me. I was with a friend of mine, and I told him, I said, don't make a big deal out of this. I said, don't turn around, but sitting right behind us is the basketball operations director of the Chicago Bulls. And then he gets up, and I thought I might have said something to him if the situation felt right, if literally the geography felt right. I felt if I had said something to him in the middle of the restaurant, it would have caused something of a stir. So I didn't. I just let it go. But my buddy Fez was like, dude, what are you doing? Why don't you say something? Why don't you ask him about Antetokounmpo? Why he's not coming to the Bulls? I'm like, that's not the way this works. This is not business right now. These are people enjoying steaks right now. right now, and I do not want to bother the man.
I'm just glad you got that prime cut, because you know you make that big boy money. I like it, Groves.
Well, it was absolutely delicious. Let's just put it this way. The cable bill is being paid in installments this month because of that.
That's fair. Yeah. That's normal cable these days with 1,000 streaming services at your disposal.
Honest to God, like I compared what I paid at Adelina to what a cable bill is today, and most people can imagine what that is. I'm so glad to be here, though, with you two gentlemen to go hardcore Bears today. And one of the things that we have been talking about for the last couple of days, something that we discussed yesterday, it started to bring it into the light a little bit yesterday. We need to expand on it. And that is what we are all so, I feel like part of what we are about to discuss is heavy duty wish casting and want for it. Something that we have been hungry for probably for most people listening their lifetimes. And for once in a Bears fan, a Bears media person, whatever the case may be, whatever your relationship is to the Bears, to have a actual quarterback rivalry with another team, as in, could this be Caleb Williams versus Jordan Love? Are we moving into an area where this could be an actual, legitimate, sustainable quarterback rivalry for the next decade or so?
I think we're there. And here's why I think we're there. And that's why Saturday's game is so important, not just because, yes, you do have the chance to go into the outright driver's seat by putting yourself a game and a half up on the Packers with two games left to play. At that point, you just need to handle business against them, and then you win one more game, you're going to win the NFC North. That is, unless you find a way to, well, lose to Detroit and Detroit wins out. But I don't see that happening. So I think what you look at when you see Caleb Williams specifically is a guy who played just as well until that very final play against the Packers as Jordan Love did in that game. And so I know there's been times when people wish for a star quarterback in Chicago and it's never quite come, but with that comes the greatness of rivalries. Rivalries renewed. Aaron Rodgers owned the Bears for so long. Now you have a chance to see Caleb Williams step into the spotlight and say, I can go toe-to-toe with Jordan Love for as long as Jordan Love is a quarterback. And remember, Jordan Love's in year three as a starter, year, what, five as a quarterback in the NFL? And Caleb is almost caught up to him now, just that quickly, and I love it.
What I liked about what I saw from Caleb, and I absolutely agree with you, I think this is a rivalry. And why is it a rivalry? It's because of Ben Johnson, how he's able to accentuate what Caleb Williams is good at, throwing the ball down the field, giving him some time, teaching him this play-action game that he had never been exposed to before. And the first half of that game was not the Caleb Williams that we know. I mean, you look, the Bears, their first three drives had one first down and 5 net yards. They had one drive with more than one first down in the first half of that game. They had 15 first downs on their 4 drives after the half. So you saw that Caleb Williams coming into his own, making that comeback, and just right there had the touchdown pass. I think if it comes around this week, he hits it. And I think this is something we're going to see for years to come, that second half Caleb, and then what we saw from Jordan Love, who's obviously a good quarterback as well. They're going to be the top two guys in this division.
Yeah, and there is no doubt that Jordan Love won the day in the first meeting in terms of the explosive plays that he made to Bo Melton, the Christian Watson, multiple plays. Josh Jacobs did what he did. That has nothing to do with Jordan Love necessarily. However, to your point, Caleb Williams kind of quietly made his own array of elite throws in that game as well. So he's sort of stacking the game. The 28-yarder to Burden in the fourth quarter. That play down the sideline to Devin Duvernay. This is the Green Bay game that we're talking about here. That sidearm strike to Olamide Zaccheaus for the a touchdown in another tight window. Like, Caleb is starting to feel himself when it comes to the tight windows that he may have been avoiding some last year.
And let's not forget, Caleb Williams has Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons chasing him in that game. Jordan Love had Montez Sweat and Austin Booker. And no offense to those two guys.
The ghost of Dio.
The ghost of Dio.
Oh,
there
the
too.
Ghost of Dio.
Much better defense for the Packers that Caleb Williams was going against than what Jordan Love was going against. And that was when Kyler Gordon was supposed to play that game. So I will give Dennis Allen some grace there because he was game planning under the idea that Kyler Gordon was going to be playing. He probably ain't going to leave C.J. Gardner-Johnson one-on-one with Christian Watson. Mm. He ain't going to leave Kevin Byard on a zero blitz one-on-one with Christian Watson, Bo Melton. Okay, because he thought that Kyler Gordon would be in these situations, yeah. a 4-3 guy, a guy that jumps 40 inches, a guy that has 11-foot broad jump, as explosive as any receiver on the field. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I think he's had some good thing, had some good plays this year, but he is not near the athlete of Kyler Gordon.
See, that what you're saying, it resonates with me because what you're saying, I think, is that these are adjustments that Dennis Allen can make.
Well, now, he has to.
Well, he has to, but there are logical ways to. You learn a lot from that game in terms of what the Packers did to you. I'm not necessarily saying moving forward and like you've learned something like the light came on for the defense, but those are things that you could watch on which the Bears are probably obsessively doing and finding a different plan for those scenarios because we know, Marshall, that Jordan Love, he's going to go for those explosive. There are going to be 5 to 7 plays where Jordan Love is going to attempt big-time plays, and the idea is that the Bears will have adjusted enough to limit the explosive plays this time, which they did not do in the first round.
Well, the biggest thing for me is when Jordan Love makes a mistake, and he will make a mistake, if not many mistakes in this game, on the road, at Soldier Field, at night, rowdy fans, the Bears, they'll capitalize defensively, but now I have more confidence that the offense, when they get the ball, I don't know, first and 10 at the Green Bay 36, will put points on the board. And you could argue that was the difference in the game is the fact that they got the ball first and 10, 36-yard line of Green Bay, and did not score. That's how you lose games like that. You have to take advantage of opportunities. I think they'll have more opportunities. Remember, going into that game, Jordan Love had 3 interceptions. Since then, in 2 games, he's thrown 3 interceptions. He is ripe for the picking, and they understand they're playing with a much slimmer margin to win a game, the Packers are, than they were 2 weeks ago because of all the guys that they'll be missing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you got to think about this too. They're playing against probably the best defense in the league, the Denver Broncos. Jordan Love was pressured, wasn't even blitzed that much. That's the best way you get after Jordan Love. If you can get pressure with the front four, I know that's not the strength of our Bears. Last week, they did take a step forward, even if it was against the lowly Browns and their third string offensive linemen. But the Broncos are a team, they have some things going for them. Obviously, the Bears don't, but I don't think the Bears are going to blitz as much this week. And to Dennis Allen's credit here, he did call some decent calls. They just didn't execute. The C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the zero blitz where Kevin Byard got beat for a touchdown. C.J. Gardner-Johnson ran over Montez Sweat. He tripped into the guy inside of him. And then this is supposed to be an unblocked pressure where you scheme open one blitzer. And nobody came open. And then Jordan Love's going to hit you. But I think you're absolutely right. This team was coming in flying high when they played the Bears the first time, the second half of the Bears game, and then last week against the Broncos, losing that game after being up 10-9 in the third quarter. I think they're coming with a little bit of momentum the other direction.
One thing that does make this feel very rivalry-esque is that pressure can kind of go from one direction to the other. I think there's more pressure on Jordan Love in this game than there is on Caleb Williams.
Because of the expectations.
Expectations. You are the incumbent. You're supposed to be better than Caleb Williams. You are the guy who's got more experience playing in the NFL. And now you've got to go on the road and do it all over again. Whereas Caleb Williams is like, I got a strong run game to lean on. I know that I'm playing my best football coming off perhaps my best performance as a professional quarterback from last week. Even if it was lesser competition, you still got to make the throws. You still have to make the good decisions. You still have to not put the ball in harm's way. I think Caleb Williams has done a better job of taking care of the football this year than Jordan Love. And I think he understands that this is an opportunity for him to take a big step forward, both in this rivalry and also the NFL at large, specifically the NFC East standings.
I do understand what you're saying, and this is a subtle difference in what I'm about to say, but I do think that this game on the overall for Caleb and the Bears is just as important, or pressure-packed. The stakes are just as high for the Bears as is for the Packers. As we sort of discussed yesterday, I think we brought this question to the air yesterday. What if the Bears lose the game? I mean, that'll be really sad. Like, if the Bears get swept by the Packers this year, knowing the improvement that they made, knowing that I personally took away the gravy aspect of this season, that it ain't just gravy anymore.
Just straight mash.
It stopped being gravy. Yeah, just straight mash. No more gravy. After they beat Philadelphia, that was off to me, because this, to a lot of people, this season just felt like extra. It's like, it's bonus time, and then we'll figure out what happened in the offseason. No, folks, the Bears are legitimately good, and they should legitimately win this game, and if they don't, to me, it will be wholly disappointing. Let's keep going with this discussion. I want to bring another part into it, and that is something we were just discussing backstage, and that is, can Caleb Williams become the next NFL villain? And who is? Just like, think about this. I was thinking about this on my walk into the Score today. Who are the greatest villains on Chicago sports teams? Not, I'm not talking about Bill Laimbeer and George Cumbie and guys that you have
really
gone up against.
There.
hey man, that's my versatility. I could bring it back to the 1980s, and then I'm right back on 2025 in an absolute moment. But I'm talking about Chicago sports villains. And if you want to call them in or text them in, 312-644-6767. Players that played for the teams that you watch in Chicago that were not well liked throughout the rest of the nation. Those are the examples that I'm looking for. 312-644-6767. Later on, we'll get into some of the Bears' injuries and the Packers' injuries as well, because that keeps getting more interesting by the minute, quite frankly. That and more coming up on Raheem Harris and Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We're talking to play-by-play man Kevin Harlan. You're the best when it comes to play-by-play of life.
We're sending Marshall Harris to D.C. to run on the field.
Come on, Marshall. Bring it home, baby. We're ready for you.
The Raheem Harris and Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
DJ, is that any way an ill-advised throw from point of view?
Nah, I can make any throw.
Yeah, you can. That's Caleb Williams right there, your Chicago Bears quarterback, being curt at best with a reporter in terms of the 22-yard touchdown throw to DJ Moore in the last victory over the Cleveland Browns. And the word ill-advised has popped up here and there for that play, but he made it as we welcome you back to the Raheem Harris and Grody Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Clay Marshall is in today for Layla Raheem, who should be back tomorrow, and we'll be going to the Brat Stop on Friday. We'll talk more about that here in just a little bit. But Marshall, it is those little things that come from Caleb Williams that every once in a while we get the burning confidence from Caleb Williams that, quite frankly, I like. Like, I liked that moment in the press conference, because the worst thing that could happen to an athlete or a quarterback in this town is that his confidence gets hurt in any way, shape, or form. That does not appear to have happened yet to Caleb Williams. As a matter of fact, it seems like his ego is right where it should be, but to the point where maybe, and we know that not everybody has written nicely about Caleb Williams. We spent the offseason talking about some of that. We know that when he came out of, when he was at USC and when he was going through the process during the draft, a lot of disparaging things were said about him. Opinions about him were not always glowing. You add all of that up, it has the ingredients for a potential villain to the NFL in a good way for the Bears, because that would suggest that he was a really good player too.
Well, I love this idea when you think about villains and how they affect other people across the country. Like in Indiana, villain number one, Michael Jordan. Like like New York, Michael Jordan, villain, right? Dennis
Utah,
Rodman.
Michael Jordan. Just
Utah,
keep going. I got a whole list. Cleveland.
No, Utah Michael might Jordan. Be the best, though. Utah might be the best, just but, because of the Wi-Fi and what the actual Wi-Fi is named.
I would, Jordan pushed off. And I would actually put Cleveland higher up on the list, even
That's
than
fair.
New York, if not just for the shot on Elo.
Yeah, the shot is real.
Multiple game-winning shots
part of
on
their
Cleveland.
Trifecta, you know, the shot to drive all the things that have gone wrong
all
for
the
Cleveland.
Yes, yes.
But for Caleb Williams, you got to remember, before he ever became a Chicago Bear, there was a faction of football fans and naysayers who absolutely just hated him. They hated that he got emotional and cried and went to his mom after a loss. They hated that he didn't play as well the year after winning the Heisman. They're like, oh, this guy's a fraud. They hate that he puts on nail polish. That just bothers people for some reason. They hate so many different things about him. And now that he's good, and he's talking a little different than he was at the start of the season when he was just trying to get the pre-snap down and get his cadence a little better. Now that he said, I can make all the throws. He didn't tell a lie. It's not that he always does make all the throws, but he certainly has the elite arm talent to do that. And now you're thinking, if the Bears are actually good, if they're good at football as a team, and Caleb Williams is a driving force in them being good, well, now people are going to start to hate him for football reasons. And I like that, because that means your team is good.
Absolutely, and I think I go back to some of the good teams I was on. I know you always like to talk trash about the bad ones. Mark's talking about the Jaguars
Classic.
Or whatnot, but even my short time with the Patriots, people hated Tom Brady, and I'm not saying Caleb's going to be a Tom Brady. I mean, you go to opposing games, I mean, signs, people just talking trash on him. Even when we were average at the Lions, made the playoffs with Matt Stafford. How do you not like Matt Stafford? He is just a crispy, clean guy. But when you start to win, when you start to produce, people start to hate on you. And you guys saw it. The beginning of this season, people talking trash on Caleb. He's a bust. Where would you take him? You would take him last among all the drafted quarterbacks. Last year, they called him a bust when he was running an offense with Shane Waldron and Thomas Brown. Okay? It didn't have any weapons. Worst offensive line, 68 sacks, all that. People were really quick to write this guy off because they didn't want to see him be successful. And now that he is being successful and starting to make plays, really come to his own, they have an identity now as the Bears. These guys are slow to come around.
I'm going to issue a challenge to our producers today, who happen to be Ray Diaz and Tyler Farengol. The first official interview we had at the Score with Caleb Williams, I was a part of, and I don't remember with whom I did the show, what show I was filling in on. Oh, it was, no, it wasn't Layla. Layla and I interviewed him this year. I'm talking about last year, the first ever interview with him. I asked Caleb a question about something that had to do with his limitations, or are you comfortable making all the throws while you're under center? And
He was talking to you and he said, I can play under center and turn my back to the defense?
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was something to the effect. His answer to me was, I could throw deep, I could throw short, I could throw inner. Like, he went through this kind of condescending is too strong of a word, but in just a very self-assured, why are you asking me this question? I can make every throw. And then he went through the litany of throws. So, guys, I'll give you some time on that because it will take some time. I understand. Sorry for putting you guys on the spot. But find that from last year, I think it was the interview on the Score when Caleb Williams first came here, just as another example to that. But another part of all of this, and I agree, like it I feel like we're getting just a little ahead of ourselves with all this stuff.
What's wrong with that?
But I like it. I like the idea that Caleb Williams could become the villain if he is to be good. I like that because we've seen enough of that against Chicago. But what about, and I couldn't come up with too many examples just in the short walk I had in here, but examples of Chicago sports athletes who have been villains to other teams. And I'm not talking about those that have been villains to us, but those that we have put into the world, our very own, that have been villains. 312-644-6767 is the number, and I just want to kind of weave some of these in. Lots of great answers coming in on the text line, but if you guys don't mind, I'm going to jump on a couple of these calls right
now.
Come
on, bring
it
on.
You guys cool with that?
Yes, let's go.
You good with that over there, Clay? Yeah. You all right with that? 312-644-6767. Bring me Dale in Lake Villa. Hello, Dale. You're on the score.
Well, hello. I had to go way back to find a really good villain on the Chicago Blackhawks. And a lot of the younger listeners won't know who this is, but he's probably the most villainous of all the Chicago Blackhawks, and that is number 6, Reggie Fleming.
Whoa, you got me on Reggie Fleming. Dude, give me a little more on Reggie Fleming. Got to admit, that's a blind spot for yours truly.
He probably spent more time in the penalty box than he did on the ice.
What year? What era? I don't remember Reggie Fleming.
In the 60s.
Oh, 60s. Okay.
Yeah. That's why you don't remember
the
Bobby, you weren't
alive. The Bobby Hull era.
Okay. Okay, we got you down. We got you down for Reggie Fleming. Spent a lot of time in the penalty box. Let me just try Scott here really quick. Scott, you're on the score.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing today?
The best.
Good. Hey, I was going to say Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he was kind of a dual villain for both, you know, the Pistons and the Bulls back in the 90s. So,
much more with the Pistons, though, it felt like.
Yeah.
But he did do opponents dirty at times. He did like to mess with the opposing team's big men, especially in free throw line situations.
He is the quintessential guy that you love him on your team, but you definitely hate him if he's on somebody else's team. But if he's on your team, love that guy.
Do you ever have one of those guys on your team and any of the teams that you played on in your nearly decade-long stay in the National Football League there, Mr. Harbor?
The villain that I obviously think comes to mind, but I mean, there was a reason for that, and I was telling you guys, but we all loved it because people hated this guy and disliked him, and we all thought it was like us versus them. We got his back. We're going to go out there and we're going to do our thing. But that was Michael Vick when I was with the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, he was a guy, high profile dude, obviously the first overall draft pick, only guy at that time to have two $100 million contracts. Obviously, he had the stuff off the field that led him to spend time in prison. He comes back and makes his way with the Eagles. So we were all behind him, but he had so many haters that year in 2010. We made the playoffs. He was in the MVP conversation. The following year, he had a successful year too, not as good. And then obviously the year after that, the stuff hit the fan. But, you know, Michael Vick was one of those guys that other teams did not like, the signs, the yelling and everything. And we loved that. We took that as a challenge to us to really impose our will on these teams and let Mike do his thing.
Was that more about just because I feel like he was so universally loved before he obviously went to prison for being involved in the dogfighting. I wonder when he came back, because I was there covering that when he came back in Philadelphia, and it was shocking when you read, because it was like during Monday Night Football when they announced that they had signed Michael Vick, and the reaction was just so quick. It's just a firestorm. And I was surprised by how quickly that went away in the city of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, and Philly loved him. That's kind of what we're getting at. Philly loved him. Philly loved the comeback story. I mean, Rocky Balboa, come from nowhere, underdog. Mike Vick comes back, and he earns a starting job.
He's not
Kevin Cobb goes down.
Way.
Well, Mike Vick, at that point in his career, was an underdog. He was a backup quarterback. He was used as a Wildcat-type guy. Kevin Cobb goes down. Mike Vick comes in, actually playing the Packers. I remember that game, the first game that Mike actually became a starter. I was in it. They ended up beating us barely, and we ended up playing the Packers again in the playoffs, and they beat us again that year and ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. But it was mostly because of the fact of the dogfighting and everything that happened there. But we knew, you know, Mike had spent years, over a year in prison, and has served his time. It's like, let this guy come out here and show that he has changed and reformed. And for us as a team, obviously different situation, that was something that we took on ourselves to try to be the best we could be to back up our QB.
Bob Probert, a lot of people are saying on the text lines, the former Blackhawks fighter. They don't make them like that anymore in the NHL because that kind of stuff doesn't go on as much in the NHL, but that is an excellent one. And AJ Pierzynski has to be mentioned as well.
AJ is definitely people, you're talking about getting under someone's skin.
I mean,
he's great at it.
Oh, he was the best. One more call on this. Let's go to Chris on the south side. Chris, you are on the score. Raheem Harrison Grody, Bears.
good morning, guys. I just wanted to say I wanted to bring up Joakim Noah, one of our very own villains. He, everybody hated him. Even I hated him when he came out of college from Florida. But once he joined the team, he was like our own henchman. So I just wanted to bring up Joakim and give him props.
That's good. And you know what? Quite honestly, Bulls fans didn't even like him when the Bulls drafted him. People were not excited about Joakim Noah. They thought he was kind of a clown when he came in at first. And even his teammates did. I remember Ben Wallace, I think, sort of had his own form of justice or discipline put on Joakim Noah early, and then he just became a great Chicago Bull and certainly a villain, especially to the people of Cleveland. You think Cleveland's cool?
Well, yeah. That's you say. Sometimes things you say will get you in trouble with other fan bases.
He doesn't care, though.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't.
He's like my guy Jaquan Brisker. He doesn't care, man. He'll trash talk. He'll talk about grown men crying. He'll tell us that all the Packers receivers suck, even though they beat the Bears. But he'll stand by, and he doesn't care about the ramifications.
Mm. That was going to be my pick, too. That's why I love that call. Joakim Noah. That's what I was going to say, because he was just that defensive guy. He would talk trash on Cleveland and be in anybody's face. He doesn't care. I mean, that's the type of guy you want on your team, though. That guy that's just that enforcer, defensive player. You love him in Chicago, but everybody else hated that guy.
No doubt. Let's add one more piece to this after we take the break, and that is LeSean Shady McCoy is out here talking again, doubling down, in fact, it seems like, on not being sold on Caleb Williams. So I want to hear what, because I have not heard this yet. I heard what he was saying last week. I want to hear what he is saying this week on his podcast. And we will certainly get to more of your calls. And I see all the texts are great. I will bounce through some of those as well. 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Raheem Harris and Grody with Clay Harbor sitting in today for Layla on the score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Raheem Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The School.
When I watch him, and I watch the offense of concept they get, or the passing concept they give him, it's super simple.
Yeah.
Right? So it makes me believe, okay, can he really read that well? And then when I watch him in college, I said the same thing when he was a great player in college. Yep. Now to get to the pros, and I'm still questioning, yo, how smart is he as far as reading the coverages? Because when I watch him play, he only plays from a talent standpoint.
That is LeSean McCoy on the Speak Easy podcast. This is Raheem Harris and Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and this segment is being brought to us by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Clay Harbor is with us today. Layla has the day off. Marshall, you're laughing.
I'm laughing because basically what he just said was, yeah, the stuff Ben Johnson's giving him is really simple, and he's only succeeding because he has a lot of talent. What? Clay, that's your former teammate, LeSean McCoy.
What have you to say about your former teammate?
I played with LeSean McCoy for 4 years. We ran the same offense, and I don't see what he's seeing. I watch every one of these Bear games. I watch the All-22. These concepts are not simple concepts. And the one thing I was talking about, Marshall, here at break, honestly, the most impressive thing for me about Caleb Williams this year to last year is running this operation. This running game isn't easy. It's not call it and run it. There is so many things that go into a run when you are pulling guards, when you are pulling tight ends, or even pulling their center and their tackle. You have to opposite plays, and you're not just looking to see if the safety's deep. Do you have two safeties deep? We're going to run it. If you have one safety's deep, we're going to throw it. No, you are looking at literally the alignment of the defensive line. Where's the guard bubble? Where's the three technique? Where can we pull? Because if you're pulling the wrong direction, that play is going to get blown up in the backfield. So him running this operation, motions literally change based off of what you see from the defense, the alignment they come out in, so you can motion the guy to get him in position to block the player that you want to. So this isn't like he's running some JV high school offense. I've watched all these games, Shady. We were on the same team. We had the same offensive coordinators. We had Marty Mornhinweg, Andy Reid, and then we had Chip Kelly. Okay, this,
all of those things are not the same, by the way.
Those things were not the same at all. And Chip Kelly just got fired again. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. Anyways,
I just
don't see what Shady sees at all, being in the same locker room with him, the same offense with him, on the field with him at the same time, watching this Bears team, probably a lot closer than he is. I think he's just dead wrong.
I don't have a huge problem with the part where McCoy is saying that he doesn't read defense as well, because there have been many times,
sure,
where he's not seeing something, where there are guys open, that he's not seeing it. I just don't know that this was the game after which you would say that, because, in fact, if we just want to zero in on the one play, and I know we've been obsessing over the 22-yard play, that was excellent reading of the field, right? Because he's going through progressions. That's not even his first read. So I just have a problem with kind of the way he is saying it and what he is basing it on. But we've watched Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams has struggled. He is not a complete quarterback. He's not a great quarterback as of yet. There are still issues with him. I just would have thought better of a guy who, like Clay said, played in the offense that he played in.
Two things here. Number one, Shady can believe what he believes and still be Hayden. He's Hayden here because he's coming, as you said.
That's a good way to
place.
Put it.
Yeah. He said something before the game.
Play, he only plays from a talent standpoint.
And yes, he's got lots of talent. That's the point.
It's a simpleton take.
We are in a developmental stage for Caleb Williams. That's the first point I want to make. So yeah, that's normal that he is taking time learning to read better and better and better. That's kind of how development works. Number two, Caleb Williams is leaning into the whole villain thing because he actually reposted the stuff that Shady said on TikTok with a cut that said The Rock's famous, "Shut up," and then you fill in the blank in response to what Shady had to say. So he's noticing all these people talking about him, and he is embracing that villain role. He wants to be hated by those who he thinks now give him a little extra chip on his shoulder.
Because they thought he couldn't play under center, Clay. That's what people thought.
They said they couldn't play under center or play action. The thing that Shady said that I just think is wrong is the fact that this isn't a simple offense. You're not making things that simple. I'm seeing motions. They got one of the highest motion rate in the league. You're moving guys around. Like, that's not easy to do, that operation. And for him to say that it's just some simple offense, like it's not an NFL-style offense, like, Shady, you've been in offenses before. That's just wrong.
It's Ben Johnson's offense. Well, it's highly successful.
And here's the other part. That would have been a good take in training camp, in the preseason, and even in the first four games of the season, where Caleb was causing issues in terms of the pre-snap stuff with his cadence, maybe not knowing where everybody should be. That was happening, and those are legitimate criticisms if you feel that a guy developing deserves the criticisms, but not now. Now he started, and even Ben Johnson said it was after the bye week where he literally added more to the plate, like with more of the pre-snap motion, and we're seeing more of it than we ever have with some of these formations, especially with the tight ends. And just like, that's one of my favorite parts about being at the game, because you have the all 22 right in front of you and seeing where these guys start, like Colson Loveland, and where he ends up before he does whatever he does, whether it's blocking or going out for a pass. We're running out of time here, but I need to take Cliff. He is in Chicago, and Cliff is on the Score. Hi, Cliff. What's going on, man? Where are you?
I'm right now. I'm working at Tootsie Roll.
Oh yeah,
on Cicero Avenue.
Oh, sick!
I love that.
You are Chicago. What's going on, Cliff?
Yeah. Well, you were talking about hated players, and the one I came up with was Tom Pachorek. It seemed like everybody
around the league hated him, even Cub fans, but I thought he was great.
Really? Was Tom... Okay, see, now, I knew Tom Pachorik. I remember him as a player, but not well enough that I remember him being a villain. Obviously, but how did that manifest itself?
I met him actually once, and I thought he was... That's how he was, but...
He was villainous. Okay.
Yeah. He's a jerk.
And I loved him anyway. You know, he was great.
I got you. All right. All right, Cliff. Thanks, man. Appreciate what you're doing for the city of Chicago. Send us some Tootsie Rolls, will you? Thank you, Cliff. Appreciate it.
To the left. To the left. Oh, yeah. To the right.
Sing
to the right.
It. Sing
to
it.
To the front.
Sing
to
it.
To the front.
Okay,
to
don't
the
you
back.
Start. So we got Anthony Heron's going
to
be in here.
But
later.
I wasn't doing it while you were talking. I did my own thing. It was an interlude. Now you're back to talking.
That's,
see?
That's true. That's
not your backup singer.
That's a good call. Let's get this train back on the track. I will.
I don't think it was off the track.
Raheem Harrison. I don't know. I expected more from the Tootsie Roll guy. I did.
Yeah. That was kind of a weak take. I think we can all agree on that, right?
It was still funny. He's literally calling in from the Tootsie Roll factory.
Yeah, right.
So
okay,
that's fair.
That brings something with it.
Yeah, that's true. He might have been in the middle of making a Tootsie Roll. So we appreciate all of our callers. And if you'd like to get in or text throughout the show, 312-644-6767. This is Raheem Harris and Grody. Layla has the day off today. Clay Harbor is in. Coming up next, we will talk to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.